This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful. I mean, you know, here it is. We've just had Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
That's why I'm so wonderful.
It doesn't seem like it.
I know it doesn't. But did you know that I got more flowers than I've ever gotten?
Did you really?
Usually I get cards and candy. This year it was flowers. I got roses on top of roses.
Wow.
I got azaleas. Roses and azaleas.
Oh, my goodness. That's amazing.
And lots of candy.
Yeah.
In addition to the candy, I got all the flowers. And I finally told them to go hide the candy.
Oh, no.
I said, you must go put it in the lock cabinet. I said, otherwise, I'll be having candy every day.
Yeah. Yeah.
I said, it's not good for me. I better not do that.
No.
I said, there's no telling what I'd weigh if I ate all that candy.
Goodness gracious. And the Halloween or the Valentine's candy is, they make it so, you know, bright and colorful, and they put it in pretty heart-shaped boxes, and they make it look even more delicious than it already does.
I know. And so you want to try each kind.
Yes.
Because, you know, there's 20 kinds in those boxes.
Yep.
Oh, my gosh. Yesterday I was trying it. With nuts, without nuts, with the cream filling, you name it. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And the thing is when you have that much, you're still eating it. So, you know, like Wednesday, and then you got Thursday and Friday, and then you probably still have some left over today if they locked it in the safe. Put it away.
Oh, my gosh,
but
yes.
You know it's there, and so it's always in the back of your head, so you want to kind of go over and pick a piece out here, you pick a piece out there, and it just goes on and on, and it never ends. But it's so good.
It is so good. And the roses this year are really, really beautiful. I got lots of roses. Everybody knows that's my favorite color is the roses, favorite flower and color. So that was very nice. And when I woke up, they already had all the roses here.
Well, it sounds like it was a wonderful, wonderful day.
It was a wonderful day. And as you know, you could not go out anywhere. Everything was full.
Yeah.
We had food brought in because everything was so full, you couldn't get reservations anywhere.
Mm-mm. No, it's tough.
It is tough. And when it's that full, I really don't care about going anyway.
No.
I like to go when everybody's chair is not touching somebody else's.
Yes. Yeah. When
you
get packed in like sardines.
Yeah. I mean, when the neighbor is right at your elbow, it's not a good thing.
Mm-mm. It's not a very pleasant experience that way.
No. And I didn't want to be that friendly, so I stayed home.
And I don't know if this is an actual fact or not, or if it just seems that way, but it seems like at occasions like Valentine's Day, when they know that everybody wants to go out and do something special, like when you go to like restaurants, they have all these package deals of, oh, hey, get this, you know, sweetheart meal, and then, you know, all the candy and the flowers. It seems like everything costs more for like Valentine's Day than it would on a random, say, like Thursday or something like that.
That's right, because what they were saying is dinner for two, this package is $60.
Yeah.
Dinner for two, this other package is $100.
Yeah.
I mean, they had all kinds of packages that you could choose from.
Mm-hmm. And I think, and I don't know, but it seems like they package it up and then they you know, the prices go up just because it seems so attractive and pretty. And maybe there's something extra in there. I don't know. It just seems that way. And I don't know. But sometimes, you know, sometimes they do a really good job and it is really, really nice.
Well, you know, I was reading all the steak prices yesterday.
Oh, boy.
And steak has gotten a little high, hadn't it?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
They started about $39 and some of them were $43.
Yep, yeah.
I thought that was a little high.
Yeah, I've seen some even more than that.
Well, I guess I didn't read all the pages. When I read that, I go, those are too big. They're 16 and 22 ounces. You know, I couldn't eat that much anyway in the world.
Yeah, it is a lot. It is a lot for one person.
Yeah, I thought it was. The rest of it sounded great, but those did sound a little big.
Yeah, a little bit too much. Well, I'm glad it was a good day, though. You know, all the flowers and the candy.
It was a wonderful day.
Wow, nice.
Everybody should have had as good a day as I did. I hope they did. And, you know, and I hope the men all gave their wives the appropriate things, you know, not only dinner and candy, but a special gift. I hope they gave her the spa deal.
Yes. Oh, you know, that's always.
I think the spa deal is a great gift.
Mm-hmm. You can't go wrong with that, ever.
No, they'll remember it for a long time.
Yes. Yeah, it's an experience.
It is. It's an experience that they'll love. And they'll say, man, last year he gave me this, but this year I got the spa treatment.
Yep. Yep. And it seems like the things that are most memorable to people are the experiences, not like the price tag on a thing or a, you know, something like that, because that's what they remember later on. You know,
now, I don't think a fishing trip would have been it.
No.
I think that would be a no-no.
Well, that would be a memory that you would remember for sure, not in a good way.
That's right, but you wouldn't go with him the next time.
No.
Oh, that
would
be
the end
or
of that.
Or a golf weekend.
Oh, yeah,
that's
true.
That's another thing women like.
Yeah.
You know, a golf weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can share it or get her a new golf club or maybe a lesson or two.
Yes. Yeah.
Depending how good she is.
Yeah. That's true. Skill level does matter.
It does, because husbands will not play with you if you're not good. You
no,
know that,
no.
You?
Oh, yes. No, no.
I learned that a long time ago, that they want you to go play with the girls if you're not good. If you're good, they'll let you play with them.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they're going to play with the boys.
Yes.
And they want you to just go stay with the girls, play with them, and you know, they don't get frustrated and break a club or something.
No, there's no need for club breaking or anything like that. That's right.
Just stay away from your wife on the golf course and things will be fine.
Yeah. And then also, I don't know if you realize or not, but Easter is early this year. It's at the end of next month. It's not even in April.
I saw that.
Yes.
I can't believe it's in March. March 31st, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the last Sunday, which is the 31st. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's like...
I saw that and I was in shock.
Yeah, it's I've been seeing the Easter candy out for a while, and I'm thinking, well, geez, it's just like everything else. You know, everything comes out months ahead of time, way too early, but actually... In this case, it's like, oh, wow, it is right around the corner. So it made a little bit more sense to me, but... Wow.
And we'll be eating chocolate bunnies.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
Yes. And have you noticed the bunnies are getting bigger and bigger?
No, I didn't.
Yeah. Yeah. They come in a half a pound and then a full pound. And oh, yeah. They're
oh,
huge.
My gosh.
Yeah.
Can you imagine what that's going to do to people?
I know it.
Those big chocolate bunnies. Oh, my Lord.
They are so delicious. And the colors, they're always those, you know, pastel spring colors and bright yellows and pinks and blues. They make it look so delicious. That's how they get
you. Do you remember when little boys used to wear the little short pants and they were pastel colors?
Yes.
Do you remember that? They'd have on the little white shirt.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little overall type deal. I guess it's not really an overall. But it has the little shorts and has suspenders on. Remember that?
Yep. It's like a one-piece deal.
It was some of them were one piece, and they were light blue, weren't they?
Yep, they were. I remember those.
Yeah, I just thought about those, how cute they were.
Yeah, I hadn't seen them in a long time, but...
They probably don't even make them now, you know.
Yeah.
They've changed so much in the styles of children's clothes.
Yeah.
But the little girls used to have... like maybe a little pink or a white dress on, real frilly, lots of lace, and then the little hat.
Yeah.
And I remember all those good days.
Yeah. Now they've taken all that Easter fashion and they've created things for dogs now with the same thing.
Oh, my gosh. But the dog can't go to church.
No, but it could dress him up all
or maybe it can.
I don't know.
What do I know?
I don't know. Times have changed, for sure. Goodness gracious. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
So what are some of the big highlights? How are we looking this week? What's new?
Well, the Drake policy, we've got that closed. Everybody's got a lot of profit in that thing, 40%. It's a short-term one. I'm looking at several right now that are 12 to 17 months. We don't know if we'll get them, but these are really short, and the people are really sick, so that looks real good. We've got almost $7 million in maturities coming to the bank.
Wow.
We had two hit the bank this week. It was the Bardis policies, and they paid a lot of extra interest on that large Bardis policy, the $250,000, which they should do. And then the other one, I think it was State Farm or somebody, they didn't pay as good. But we did get interest on both of them, interest up to date, which really makes a good thing. That's going to make people happy. The money's in their bank account, ready to go. As I said, we've got almost $7 million coming in the next 2 weeks.
Jeez.
In policies, yes. Got lots of policies coming.
Wow.
Yes, I don't know if you remember all the ones. Fontana Davis has two coming. Elizabeth Gugliana, she's got one. Tony Funkenloff has got one coming. Don King and Wayne Stevens, that new one of his, as you know, one of them is $1 million and one's $2 million on that. And then that Ronna Jabron, she's got one policy coming.
Wow.
It is amazing. And these are every life insurance company in town. MetLife has got some, Allstate, Prime America, USAA, ReliStar, Protective, and Nationwide. And AAA's got one policy. So we've got almost $7 million that'll be in the bank for people in the next 2 weeks.
That's a lot, so all of a sudden, all
is.
At once.
I mean, and then we had the other two. So it's way over $7 million in the last 2 months.
Wow.
We've had lots and lots. And a lot of these were early, by the way.
Really?
I know at least three of them were early.
Wow.
And I believe Wayne Steven was early also. I forgot on his. But I know a lot of these were early. So people are going to get their money early. They can reinvest. And make some extra money. So that's a good thing.
Yeah, because I know you've been talking about, you know, policies maturing and you know, kind of, you know, people were asking, you know, what's the status on different things? And then all of a sudden, boom, these all kind of came in. It seems like all at once. How long does an average, when a policy does mature? Because you said these are in the next couple of weeks. How long from the time a policy matures until it ends up in their account?
Usually it's 5 or 6 weeks.
Okay.
Now, the Bardis policy, we were having a lot of trouble with Bardis because the state wouldn't finish the death certificate.
Really?
And we finally had to get them from the county. But we kept waiting and waiting on the state. You can't say pending. And that's what they were saying. We had a death certificate that said pending. You can't say that. You've got to say they're dead, and this is what caused it.
Yeah.
So,
wow.
You know, we finally put a lot of pressure out and got it in about a week after everything that happened. We just couldn't believe we could not get a solid death certificate. We've never had that happen.
Wow.
But the state of Georgia was just playing around with it.
Is that usually the biggest holdup when if there is a holdup? Is
that
just
is the biggest holdup.
Okay.
Sometimes we don't know what county they died in. They didn't die where they had lived when we wrote the policy, you know, when we bought it. They live somewhere else. We've got to find out where they died and what county. Now, we've had another one come due that I don't even have the name on it here this week. It was a little $100,000 one. Now, the wife called us and is sending us the death certificate.
Oh, wow.
And that doesn't happen, but one in a million.
Yeah.
And if every one of them would send us the death certificate, we'd have that thing paid in 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah. It'd be a fast process.
And we'd
process.
Have it right on over to the insurance company, and they could pay off. But we always have to get the death certificate. We have to find out where we're going to get it, what county, what state, where they died. And, you know, sometimes we think they died one place, and they died somewhere else. And the relatives are supposed to call us and tell us. They don't always do that. On one of them, that lady 2 years ago, we knew she was dead, but we couldn't find out where she died in order to get the death certificate. And I finally found the number for her stepchildren and paid them $250, and they gave us the death certificate.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. That's,
nothing
that's,
is free.
That's a rare
free.
situation, though. Is it? I mean, that doesn't happen very often where you have to, like, pay the relatives, right?
No, that's probably second or third one we've done in a long time. Then we had the nice lady that her husband died here in Texas, and nobody could get the death certificate. They gave me the name. I went to the county down by San Antonio in the other county and had them overnight and talked to the bereaved widow. She said, how can I help? Let me mail them to you real quick. So she went and got them for me and mailed them to us overnight.
Wow.
Then she called to make sure I got them.
Well, that was nice.
But you don't run into real nice people every day.
No, you don't. Jeez.
But she was a Texan.
Well, that explains it then.
That was the whole thing right there.
Yep. How does it normally work? Like, what's the process? Because when you have to contact people and start, because it sounds like sometimes you have to do a lot of research, contacting this person, then contacting that person, finding a number, and then how is it supposed to work in a smooth, normal way?
Well, we find out they've died. We have seen the obituaries. We check obituaries every week, everywhere they live, okay? So right now we've got 155 policies. So we're checking obituaries every week in the county, in this town. But now let's say we find it, the obituary. So then we're going to contact the widow. We're going to contact the funeral home and say, okay, who has a certified death certificate? Not just a regular one. Has to be certified. So if they're nice, the widow will say, I've got 12 of them. I'll give you one. If they're not, then we have to go to the county or the state in which they died and get a copy, because a copy is on file. There has to be a copy filed by the funeral home. So that's how we always know. And usually it's simple. They died, you know, right there in the county where they lived, and we can go to that county, to the clerk, and get the death certificate. But let's say they've moved. Then we've got to research it, find out where they moved.
So
it may entail contacting relatives to say, okay, we know your aunt died. Can you tell us what county?
Are you searching for 155 manually all the time?
No, it's all on computer.
Okay. I thought, wow,
yeah.
That's got to
that
take a long time.
The computer system we've got, it will search every week. And it'll search where they live. To see if there's any obituaries in the paper. The other thing they search is Social Security.
Ah.
They have a website also. So you can search theirs to see if there's any death notices.
Wow.
So we're searching about 3 or 4 places every week.
That's an awful lot of, I don't want to call it recon work, but maybe research. Checking?
That's why North Star charges the big dollars.
Wow.
Because they've got the answer for us. Remember, we used to use the other company, and they let us down several times.
Yeah.
And so we switched to North Star, and it's been smooth ever since.
Wow. That's great, though. But, boy, that's an awful lot of legwork. But I'm glad it's working.
It is. And that's why they charge like they do, because usually now we know within 4 or 5 days of them dying, and we've never had that ability. So now they may die on a Friday. We'd probably know it on Wednesday.
Wow. So you know it even faster. You have the data faster now than you ever had before.
Oh, yeah, a lot faster.
Oh, wow.
I mean, used to, it took 2 or 3 months to find out they died.
Jeez.
But now we know it within days.
Wow. That's a big, to go from months to days, that's huge.
Yes. And it was, because lots of times their system wasn't picking it up. So we wouldn't know for a couple months, 3 months, that they had passed away.
Wow.
And now we know it very quick. So that's a vast improvement.
Yeah, no doubt. There's been a lot of improvements, not only, you know, the speed of all this, but, you know, even just the ELE analysis and all that has really improved.
ELEs are a lot better than they used to be. People could fool us years ago, but now we've got Lapidus, which is a group of scientists, and they are accurate. I mean, they're spot on.
Yeah. I mean, you have a whole team of people that look at these, and the data is more accurate. It seems to be, you know, like you said, it seems like there's not only is it more accurate, but it also seems like there's they're coming in earlier than normal. Is that a good? I don't think that's a good way to say it.
They are coming in a lot earlier than they were, and I think it's because we've got good LEs. We've got good medical information. It gives us all the things we really need.
Yeah, so you got some really solid, good data.
Which we thought we had before, but when everything was coming in late, we found out we were not getting what we were paying for.
Yeah. Wow. That's impressive. I mean, just the advancements in the last, what, year or two, maybe?
Yeah, yes. And the LEs have really been good the last 2 years. I think that's why we're having so many maturities. We've had a ton of maturities. Well, like this 7 million, you know, and then we had another 5 million, I think it was in December. Hmm. So we've had a lot.
Do you have any investors that maybe haven't invested in new policies in maybe like that time frame, like in the last like maybe year or two? They're just kind of like their cash is just kind of like sitting there. That haven't seen, like, firsthand what happens with the new processes, the new data, things like that, so they don't quite, maybe they're kind of basing things off the old way, so to speak?
Yes, I think they are. They had some go over, so they were just sitting back. But you know what I found? The people that keep doing this in the new policies are making a lot of money. The old policies are not. But if you put the old policy aside, say, okay, I'm going to do new policies, and they keep maturing, you're going to make money, and it's going to make up for that old policy you're sitting there on.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we've found this to work because we've got a lot of people that had the old policies, and then they continue to invest, and they're doing good. We've got some people that aren't. They're just sitting there waiting for the old policies to mature. So they're not gaining any extra money right now.
Yeah. And it seems like the $7 million that you were talking about before, it seems like, you know, many of those are coming in earlier than you thought. And so it seems like this is kind of becoming more and more the norm with you know, the improvements and the data and all that. It seems like that's kind of like more of the norm now than the exception with them coming in early. Is that a fair?
It does seem like that because we've had some of the old policies mature, but most of them are the new ones.
Yeah.
And the LAs are accurate. They're really accurate.
Wow. Wow. It's a really big deal. You know, I mean, when people, you know, I guess when life settlements started many, many years ago, it's all, you know, very scientific and it's all, you know, an educated, well-informed kind of investment. But it seems like what's happening now in the very recent past, like in the last year or two, has really kind of propelled life settlements to a whole new level that probably wasn't even imaginable, even maybe even 5 years ago. I'm just kind of guessing just based on what you're saying.
That's what I think. 5 years ago, it was a different ball game. It has improved and improved. in the last 2 or 3 years. It's a lot better deal than it was.
Yeah.
Because it's accurate now. And we know what the problem was. We fixed it. And now it's just a lot better.
Yeah. And they've always been conservative. It's always been, life settlements have been one of those investments where people don't have to worry about the stock market or worldly events. They don't have to worry about, if it's going to pay out, because they've all, life insurance companies all have the reserves on hand. So they have the cash. It's not lent out to somebody else and in somebody else's project or anything like that. And they got to go raise the money or anything. It's all right there. And so all that is still consistent. It's just the foundation has been built on and improved on top of all that. Right? I hope I'm saying that the right way.
Yes, I think it's been improved a lot. It's a lot better investment than it was because it's more accurate.
Yeah.
So that makes everybody feel good and they're doing good. And as I said, people are getting a lot of interest per year right now.
Yeah. How are annuities doing? Are we still in bonus territory?
Annuities are doing good. In fact, another company that we do business with has contacted me, and they've come out with a new policy that's going to pay 15%.
Really?
Yeah. So we're one company, we've got 12. The company we do business with every day, we know them well. The other company has got great ratings. In fact, their ratings have just went up. And so now they're offering a 10-year policy with a 15%. And each year, it lays it down and guarantees it. In other words, if you took it all out next year, that bonus, you'd have to give it back. It has to stay in there the full length of time. And that's usually most bonuses do. So that's not a bad deal. That's a good deal.
Yeah.
So anyway, we can offer 12% with one. We can offer 15% with the other one. And then if you that first year, if you put the fixed rate with it, that's going to give you about 15%.
Wow.
First year. And then every year that you put money in it, they're going to give you another 12% for 3 years. You can put money in there for 3 years and get that extra 12% every year. And I don't know how you can beat that.
Yeah.
Especially people that are 65 and up.
And that's kind of like the age range you normally recommend for annuities, 65 and up, yes?
That's right.
Okay.
65 and up is a good time to get your annuity established. If you're fixing to retire, move your 401 over here. It becomes an IRA, an independent IRA. You don't pay tax, so you take it out. The money is transferred direct, and therefore you don't owe any taxes.
Okay.
And then you don't have to take it out till 73. Then you've got to make a withdrawal every year.
Hmm.
And we always notify you. The company will always notify you that it's time for you to take it out, and they'll send you that amount of money.
And I do want to clarify and just make sure that I'm clear that I understand this right, so that there's no confusion. When you say annuities are good for people 65 and up, it doesn't mean that anybody has to switch over. It's not like a law. It just tends to be just in the normal.
It's a good time.
Yeah.
It's a good time to make the move because your income's fixing to change. At work, they're going to give you a lump sum. And when they do, you should take that, invest it in annuities. Instead of just taking a payout from your company, you'll make more.
Yeah, yeah.
And remember, your annuities, you can have as many beneficiaries as you want. You can change beneficiaries. It's very versatile. And with our annuities, you don't have to take a payout at the end of the 10 years. You can take the lump sum in cash.
Mm. Okay.
And the other thing is, this old client that I've mentioned several times, she's nearing 90 now. And she's getting a little bit bad shape. Now, her daughter called me. Her daughter's a doctor. And we've had annuity. She's got three annuities with me. One's an IRA. She's been taking that every year for like 15 years. But now the family says we're having two ladies come at different times and take care of her. It's $10,000 a month.
Wow.
They said, Faye, what can we do? I said, cash in the one annuity that there's no penalties, there's no nothing. Take that money, put it in her bank account, pay the help, and then next year on the other two annuities, take that 10% out of each one. And we should be able to sustain her for years to come. She's got enough annuities laid back that it'll take care of her and she won't have to go to a nursing home.
Wow. That's a great point.
That's something people should think about. Those annuities will see them through it. And when they get real elderly, they can hire someone to take care of you. You won't end up in a nursing home with bed sores and all the other things.
Yeah. Is
Yeah. Is, and the neglect.
Oh, yeah. That's another thing. Oh, that's... Ooh.
It's a bad deal. Yeah.
It is. Goodness gracious. So I don't know how to ask what I'm trying to think. When they were initially set up, the annuities, was it set up with this in mind, or were they set up?
No, we set it up for her to have income the rest of her life.
Mm, okay.
And I said, take the one annuity, the IRA, and start living off of it. Keep the others back. And I've got several clients that have more than one annuity with me, and they've never touched but one. And that's the way you can really have quite a bit of money accumulate. You take your one annuity, live off of it, and then put the other two back and just take that accumulation and leave it in there every year when the interest comes in.
Yeah.
So therefore, you've got money to leave to your family or money if you need it to take care of you.
All right. So it doesn't matter what situations or circumstances arise. I think what I'm trying to ask is people don't have to necessarily plan for every, you know, like there's an infinite amount of different scenarios that things could play out. You don't have to plan for any of them. It's just as long as they're set up solid and people are well diversified, then they're going to have the resources no matter what happens to kind of, you know, either like you say, cash went in or, you know, let others, you know, keep going or, you know, whatever happens, the different being diversified has everything to cover just about every situation. Is that?
Everybody should be diversified.
Okay.
That's why I've done these like this. Where they're diversified enough that you can do one annuity, you can save the others back, you don't have to spend it all. And these are good annuities, they've made good money all these years. So if they'd been in the stock market and ups and downs, they might not have enough money to live on the rest of their life. But you've got all your guarantees with annuities. You know, the principal's guaranteed, the interest is locked in once a year. You don't have a downside like you do in the market. There's no downside to annuities.
Hmm. And you have some people that actually still do annuities and life settlements concurrently, right, at the same time?
That's right. But I've got some people fixing to retire. So they're saying, Faye, I may need to go over to the annuity side, you know, to have that guaranteed income every year.
Okay.
Instead of just having a lump sum setting in our accounts over there. And we also found out that Nevada Trust has another account that we can get more interest for everybody, and you still, in one day, can get your money. I think it pays almost 5%. I think it's 4.53. It leaves it in your account like it is now, but it'll pay more. So we need to tell people about that also. The cash is just sitting there. I'd like for them to get more interest, and then get more interest by upping it to this other account.
Okay. All right.
And I haven't sent everybody out a notice of that, but that's the truth. They'll pay almost 5%, and it's not locked up. It's not in a CD or anything like that. It's just a better checking account.
So when people see that notice, that's kind of what that's all about.
That's what it's about. We're going to send them a notice and tell them they can get more money, which would be to their benefit.
I'm trying to kind of paint a general picture for people who are thinking timeline. Is it generally what people do is use life settlements because they have bigger returns to build up their overall wealth, and then at retirement or near retirement, kind of switch over to annuities, which basically sets it almost, and forgive me if I'm saying this wrong, please correct me, it almost puts it on autopilot so that the annuities then take the wealth that they've already got, that they've already built up, and then basically create steady income from it. Am I painting the right
picture? That's exactly right.
Okay.
We have a lot of people, you know, right now especially, we've got life settlements, they're paying 40%, 22%. I've got one we're bidding on right now that's 50%. Ooh. I mean, it's unheard of, the amount you can make with life settlements right now. We've been buying them in the last couple of months better than we've ever been able to buy them. So if it's a 12-month policy, it's probably paying 17. We've got some that are going to pay 30%. We're bidding on them. We've got one we're bidding on that's 50%, which is unheard of.
Wow.
And so right now is a good time to do a life settlement because we're buying them at the right price. And they're short term. I mean, we're talking about 12 to 17 months, really short. And it's the cancers we know how to do. This tongue cancer is 12 months. And we've done this before, and it always came in early. So the tongue cancer is going to be a really good one if we get it.
And that's really kind of, and when you say tonight, this is a good time to get into a life settlement, the way that most of your most successful investors invest is that they're in multiple policies, not just one. They're in as many as, what, 10, 20 at any time?
That's right.
Okay.
I have a lawyer and his relatives. They came in about 2 years ago, and they put money in one just to see how it worked. They got paid. They put some money in another one. I think now they've probably got three or four policies. But they were very cautious coming in. They saw it worked. They saw that it was legitimate, that it worked. So now, you know, they've got several policies with them. And they're just starting out. But other people have got 20 to 30 policies. Some have got 10. And they know how it works now. They recommend us. We're recommended by a lot of people every day, because it pays off for them, so they tell their friends and their relatives.
Okay. So it's pretty typical for somebody to come in, do maybe a policy just to kind of get a feel for it, see how it works. Most of them are pretty impressed with it, not only with the returns, but with the lack of having to, you know, get up in the middle of the night, check their portfolio. The anxiety goes down. The stress goes down. They just basically wait for the policies to mature and then reinvest. And then usually, from what it sounds like, once they see how one of them works, usually people are all in and it's like, Faye, put me in as many as you possibly can. Is that accurate?
That's right.
Okay.
Right. Especially when they get paid, see how much they made within a short length of time. It makes them a lot more eager. Like when we were doing the Drake policy, that was a big policy. It was $3 million. You know, we had to raise, I think it was $2 million. And a lot of people had said no. But then they found out that all that money in that policy that was out had hit their bank, and they all changed their mind and said, not only put me in for 50, raise it.
Yeah.
You know, put me in for extra.
Yeah.
And they're all good clients. They were just running out of money. But now the money is back in there, and so they came in strong.
Yeah.
And it's a good policy. They're going to make a lot of money on that one.
And that's how it works. That's how life settlements are. It's like it's. I don't want to say the law of averages. That's not probably the most accurate way to say it. But it really is. It's over a long term type of thing. People shouldn't try to say, hey, I'm going to come in a policy. I'm going to do one, and then in 12 months it's going to mature, and then I'm going to go off into the sunset. It's really something that happens over time. And as more people get into more policies and they're more diversified, some will come in and then they reinvest, and then others will come in and they reinvest. That it's kind of like the leapfrog effect, and when all this is happening, that's when your most successful investors thrive the most, correct?
They learn a lot, and as they learn more, they do more.
Yeah Knowledge is power. Wow.
That's right.
All right, this is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is
877-588-3330. That's 877-588 3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And every Saturday around this time, we get into trivia. So what is our topic today?
Well, today, it's President's Day on Monday.
Is it really?
Do you remember that?
No, I forgot.
Okay, who do we celebrate for President's Day?
I'm going to say George Washington and Abraham Lincoln.
You're right.
Yay.
Now, he is the father of our nation. It's George Washington. Hmm. He was born February 22nd, 1732.
Wow.
He lived till 1799. He was not only our founding father, he was a military officer. He was a politician, a statesman. He served the first time as president, 1789 to 1797. And he was appointed by the Second Continental Congress as commander of the Continental Army. And that was commander of the Continental Army, 1775. And he led our forces to victory in the American Revolutionary War. And then he served as president of the Constitutional Convention, which drafted and ratified the Constitution. And then he served as U.S. federal government. And he's been, as I said, he's been known as the father of our country. His first deal in public office was as a surveyor of Culpeper County in Virginia. Then he went to the military, and he was assigned command of the Virginia Regiment during the French and Indian Wars. Then he was elected to the Virginia House of Burgesses. He was named a delegate to the Continental Congress. Then they appointed him commander-in-chief of the Continental Army. And he led our forces, as I said, to victory over the British, and he had them sign the Treaty of Paris. And that acknowledged that we were independent United States. Then he resigned his commission in 1783 at the end of the war. And but he replaced the Articles of the Confederation. He was then twice elected president by the Electoral College. Can you imagine we even had Electoral College back then?
Yeah, it's impressive.
And he implemented a strong, well-financed national government. He remained impartial in a fierce rivalry between the cabinet members, Thomas Jefferson, Alexander Hamilton. And then during the French Revolution, he proclaimed a policy of neutrality. And then they signed the Jay Treaty. And he set precedent for the office of the president, including a peaceful transfer of power. And then he got the title instilled, Mr. President, and he served two terms. And in 1796, he gave a farewell address and became a preeminent statesman, in which he wrote about the importance of national unity and the dangers the regionalism and foreign influence can do to a country. And later, now, he was a colonel. And after he died, they made him a general, ranked him on up there. And he's got monuments. It's a federal holiday. We've got a lot of things showing him, including the national capital, the state of Washington, and the currency. And in 1976 is when they moved him up to general. You know, he was a wealthy man. He had over 1,200 acres of land. He was very smart. His brother went to England to get his education. He didn't. He wasn't able to do that. But it says in all the papers that he married Martha Washington. She had 18,000 acres of land.
Wow. I didn't know that.
18,000 acres of land, Martha Washington.
Jeez.
So he took over that, became involved with her estate, which was huge. And then he took care of it for her children. She had two children when he married her. And then, of course, if you remember, the Valley Forge deal is which he is famous for. He completed the mission in 77 days in spite of the winter conditions. And that distinguished him. And that was all published in Virginia and London even.
Oh, wow.
Because he became so famous. He only had 50 men, and he had a small force of Virginians, during the ambush, French forces were killed outright with muskets and hatchets. And, when he went to do that, he did it with 50 men, it says.
Jeez.
Took him 77 days.
Wow.
And he had a horse shot out from under him.
Oh, really?
His hat and coat were bullet ridden. Everything in the world happened to him. But he made it through it, and that's what made him so famous. But can you imagine, he served two deals as president.
And didn't they want him to run again, but he said no?
He declined.
Yeah, he wanted to make sure that it was a Republican, not like a dictatorship. He didn't want to come across like a king. He wanted to make sure that, you know, that they were limited to two terms. And so, I mean, he was very, very popular as a president, but he declined.
He really was. And, you know, in the White House, there hangs a picture of him that was never finished.
Oh, really? Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes. Yes, it was never finished. It hangs in our White House to this day.
Wow. I knew there was pictures of him.
You know, he had smallpox, and, you know, it scarred his face a little bit. But when he married Martha Washington, she was 27 years old, and she was the widow of a wealthy plantation owner. And she had a big estate, as I said, and they moved to Mount Vernon, which, you know, became his in later years. And everybody talks about the home of George Washington as Mount Vernon.
Yeah.
And it was actually hers, and, you know, he inherited that when he married her. But she had the two children, and she was only 27 years old.
I didn't realize she had two children.
Yeah. She had already been married to a wealthy plantation owner.
Hmm.
But in 1777, when he was fighting, you know, they lost between 2,000 and 3,000 men because of disease, lack of food, clothing, and shelter. And, of course, the British were quartered in Philadelphia. They were paying for supplies in pounds sterling. And Washington was struggled with a devalued American paper currency. So that's why they almost lost the battle, because they were hungry. It talked about their feet were wrapped, you know, with material. They didn't even have shoes.
Yeah. And those conditions were rough. Brutal.
Really rough. And they managed to survive it and bring America around where the British didn't take over the United States.
Yeah. I mean, just to keep going in those kinds of circumstances, that takes a lot of dedication, a lot of character, and a lot of determination. I couldn't even imagine not even having shoes. And it's like, you know, cold. And I mean, even when they crossed the Delaware, didn't they have to wait like a day or two?
Yes, they were waiting in that ice and water.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
But they say that Washington became our first spy master. He designed an espionage system against the British in 1778.
Really?
Yeah. And so they were gathering information about the British in New York. And he disregarded incidents of disloyalty by old Benedict Arnold.
Hmm.
Yeah. And Arnold was supplying the British with sensitive information. He was giving them our defense positions on the Hudson River.
Hmm. Yeah.
So they, you know, they finally, as you know, got rid of him. But he was a traitor, as you know.
One of the most famous ones.
Yeah, and, you know, they've done a lot of stories about him. Even on Murder, She Wrote, they talked about Benedict Arnold.
Really? Oh, I used to watch that show all the time.
Yeah, and they did a story where this guy come from England and was looking for these papers on Benedict Arnold to prove that he wasn't a traitor and that he didn't sell us out.
Wow.
And, you know, we all know he did.
Yeah.
He was giving the British all this information. But he returned to private life in 1783. And he thought he might be criticized for meddling in civil matters. But he believed the nation was on the verge of anarchy and confusion. And he was afraid the foreigners, you know, were going to do something to us. And he said, we've got to have a national constitution. And they were afraid that the new republic had descended into lawlessness. And they met on September the 11th, 1786 in Annapolis, to ask Congress to revise the Articles of Confederation.
Hmm.
And he was the one chosen to lead the Virginia delegation.
So then he was brought back into politics.
Yeah, and he was worried. They persuaded him to attend because his presence might induce reluctant states to send their delegates and smooth the way for the ratification. He finally said he would contend the convention, but he made it clear he was being urged to attend.
Mm-hmm. And he did.
And he did preside over it, and he was unanimously elected to serve as president general.
Wow.
And it was all to redo the Articles of Confederation.
I guess I had forgotten about all that.
Yeah, and they called for a new constitution and a sovereign national government. And, of course, he highly recommended it. And he wrote Alexander Hamilton. He said, "I almost despair of seeing a favorable issue to the proceedings of our convention and do therefore repent having had any agency in the business." Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, of course, and they finally got it done. And that's what we have today.
Yeah. Wow. You know, you forget sometimes how much people gave up and sacrificed to create the foundations of what we have. And it's just, you know, like the not only the amount of people that were killed in the entire process, like the war and all that, but then, you know, the people who were, you know, the suffering that was involved, you know, just being outside and in cold like that with no shoes and being wrapped and the amount of time that it took and, you know, the supplies that were low and all the things that they had to overcome to get, you know, even the paper currency and the devaluation of all that happened. And it's just all these things, it just seems like one after another, there was all these different hurdles that many people would have given up on. And so the fact that he kind of became the face of, I don't want to say the face of the revolution, but maybe the face of the revolution, you know, and so they relied on him heavily and he came through. And even when he planned on being out and just being a regular citizen, he recognized the fact that he was needed and he went back in and do what he had to do for the greater good. It's very Admiral doesn't even, you know, his actions. I don't even know how you even characterize it. Just the amount of character that he had throughout the whole process.
And, you know, I did not realize that he took his oath of office at Federal Hall in New York City. It wasn't in Washington.
Mm-mm. No,
it was inaugurated in New York City. And did you know also, he told him he did not want any money. He said, "I wish to serve without a salary." And the Congress insisted, and they gave him $25,000 a year to just for the cost. And they said today that would be $6
million. Oh, wow. Good Lord.
And he said he wanted to be called Mr. President. He didn't want to be called His Excellency. He didn't want to be called His Highness. All these names they were going to call him. And he wanted to resign after the first term.
Yeah.
But the political strife convinced him to remain in office. He was an able administrator, a judge of talent and character, and he talked with everybody to get their advice. Boy, that wouldn't happen nowadays, would it?
No.
No, nobody would ask for any advice, would they?
Oh, no.
But if he hadn't stayed with it, probably wouldn't have a constitution.
Yeah.
Of the United States. We wouldn't have a lot of things that he did get for us.
Jeez. It's just, you know, you don't realize, you know, and just to sum it up like that, it doesn't even begin to scratch the surface of the sacrifice and things that people had. So it's very, very, I don't know what the word would be.
Leading all these 2,000 or 3,000 men across the Delaware in right in the middle of winter.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't think anybody today would do that.
No, no. His character was above and beyond.
I don't know if anybody's got that character.
Mm-mm. I do have a George Washington joke. Do you want to hear it?
By all means.
What did George Washington say to his men just before they crossed the Delaware?
Alley-oops?
Nope. Get in the boat.
Get in the boat. Get in the boat.
That's all I got. So.
All right. Get in the boat. Oh, my gosh. Well, having a wife that wealthy, you'd have thought he'd just stayed on the plantation, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, just kind of like
18,000 acres.
He could have easily coasted at that point. But
yeah, I mean, he didn't have to do anything. Of course, we might be British right now, too.
Yeah.
If we were. We hadn't had somebody as brave as he was.
Yeah. I wonder if we would talk with accents if we were.
I think we'd be doing more than that.
Yeah.
We'd probably all be in chains somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Wow. I forgot or I guess I didn't realize that Monday was President's Day. So I'm glad you
Yes, it is. And they gathered all the presidents and made it into one day. Used to, you know, you had different days. And they all said, no, we want all the employees, federal employees, to be able to take this one day. So, and then they said, and Abraham Lincoln's birthday is this month. So they said, let's just have a President's Day that third Thursday.
Yeah. Combine it and do it all in one shot. Wow.
But everybody should go back and read all about Washington, because he not only is the face of our nation, he was one of the greatest presidents we had.
Yeah.
Was George Washington.
One of the most honorable people in the history of our country, I would say.
That's right. I mean, he wasn't looking for money or fame, but when his country called, he came and did his best, and it was good enough.
Yeah, he served unselfishly.
So. Very unselfishly. Two terms, and he didn't even want to.
Yeah.
He wanted to go home to Virginia.
Yeah, he's ready to just have a peaceful life after all he'd been through. He'd kind of earned it, but he came back for some more, so he did.
And
he
was very smart.
Yeah.
You know, he served as a lot of things on the way up, you know, as a surveyor, and that was a license deal. And each thing, you know, he moved up and helped somebody.
Yeah.
You know, the towns and the counties.
Yeah, no doubt. No wonder he's the...
And then he went into the military.
Yeah. Jeez. He didn't have it easy at any point, that's for sure.
Back then we didn't have much to work with.
Exactly. I mean, the frontier was kind of a rough existence just to begin with, just as it was, without all the other things involved. So yeah, it was difficult for sure. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
Real quick, before we wrap up, I know we need to go over the two major risks involved with the life settlement. What is the biggest?
The biggest risk is it could go over. You need to look at it before you do it and ask us how much the premium is. We're going to tell you. That's all in the package. So that is your biggest risk. If you would have to pay premiums if your policy goes over. If it doesn't, there's no... none required.
Okay.
And then, the other one is it's not liquid until it matures. You can't just say, oh, I'll take some money out today. You have to wait till it matures.
Okay. And people do need to be accredited, though, to do a life settlement, which means?
They must be accredited. They must make $100,000 a year, or did I say $200,000? It's $200,000 a year and be worth $1 million without their home. The $100,000 is what the minimum investment is.
Okay. All right. And there's not really a whole lot of risks. There aren't really any with annuities. There is no accreditation. They do look at things, so you do have to kind of qualify, but it's not quite as strict as with a life settlement, right?
It's not near as strict. You just have to have savings. You have to have money to invest. It can't be your last dollar. They're not going to do that.
Okay. All right.
And
so,
we wouldn't do it either.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's you're there to help people, not to just take their money and run.
Yeah, we're not going to harm them that way. Yes.
Yeah. So, all right. So, with Monday being a holiday, are you open for business, or are you closed on Monday? I don't want to.
You know, I forget how many holidays we take, but this may be one of them. I'm not sure. That's one of the few things I never thought anybody'd ask me, because I can tell you all the others, like Veterans Day, Labor Day, all those, and I'm not sure if we take President's Day or not.
After all these years, I finally got your trick question.
You finally found something I didn't know, because I don't remember. Do you remember what we did last year?
No, of course not.
I don't either. Well, if we're open, all you have to do is call.
Yeah.
If we don't answer, you'll know that we're not open till Tuesday.
There you go.
That's real simple. Yeah,
we can roll with that. All right, so finally.
And send us an email. Send me an email on Monday if you need to, okay?
And one last time, what's your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website's AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
You've been listening to Your Money with Fay Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Fay Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.